Things are good. They're good and good.
On ESPN 1000.
Gone back to Markkanen. He fires. He fires.
Sir. Tim Boylan's in, and all of a sudden now he's going to try to turn things around for the Bulls, trying to make sure that the cultures change. You ain't changing no culture, man. All roads lead to Garn Pax. That's the thing.
Jonathan Hood.
So, yes, I have seen the Cooks wear these New Balance before also because it's a comfortable shoe, but it's not necessarily an appealing shoe. Felix, do you have a New Balance in your closet? Have you ever worn New Balance?
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
I don't have New Balances in my closet, but I will be honest, I did own a pair.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Rocking with khakis, didn't you?
Yeah.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number as we broadcast live from our First Midwest Bank's studio.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.
Glad that you're with us here after Notre Dame falls short against Miami. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. With you for a short flight until 10 o'clock. And then it's Dan Levitard and Stu Gatz right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll have a full show tomorrow because it's Throwback Thursday. We'll be together between 7 and 10 on Thursday. Also a full show on Friday starting at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Hope that you enjoyed your Wednesday. This is a great opportunity to be on the air now. Because of the news coming across from Adrian Wojnarowski, who covers the NBA for ESPN.com, the Washington Wizards have agreed to trade forward Otto Porter Jr. to the Bulls for forwards Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. The deal includes a 2023 second-round pick to the Wizards, according to ESPN. The Athletic was first to report the news of the trade agreement. Otto Porter, who's 25 years of age, is averaging 12.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, and 2 assists this season. He is making $26 million this season. He's owed $27 million next season with a player option of 2020-2021. The Bulls have been trying to trade Jabari Parker, who has a team option for next season, worth $20 million. So there's a lot to unpack here. Here's the things that stand out to me about this deal. Number one, the Bulls starting off, even trying to get Jabari Parker on this team, did not make sense to me. I don't care if he's from Chicago, if he's from Portland, if he's from New Mexico. It didn't make sense for the Bulls to go after Jabari Parker. The reason why is because of the injuries and because in his introductory press conference, clearly, dude was just comfortable at home and just trying to get his offensively. And he wasn't worried about defense. From the jump, there was an attitude of, I'm trying to get mine offensively and defense does not matter. Even if you really do feel that way, for him to say that out in the first press conference, that told you everything you need to know about Jabari Parker and his mindset. It wasn't trying to win. Yes, it's probably good for him to come home for a little bit, but you can just tell that the game in some ways has passed him by. That's one. The other thing is that I don't know how he in particular was going to elevate this Bulls team to go anywhere. What this trade told me, and what other trades and other deals that the Bulls have done have told me, is that it is hard to determine what the direction is for this Bulls team. I know the direction of teams like the Suns. I know directions of teams like the New York Knicks or the Cavs or the Atlanta Hawks. But with the Bulls, it's really a head-scratcher. It really is. It's a head-scratcher because when you make this deal of Otto Porter, that means that you believe that your core now is going to be Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn, maybe? if he's still around by the time we get to the trade deadline tomorrow. You see, many of you that looked at the Bulls believe that, well, if you lose enough, you can get Zion Williamson, or you can get Ja Morant, or you can get R.J. Barrett. And I look at it as, with this deal, the Bulls will not be in the top three when it comes to the draft. Because you've just dumped yourself out of position by doing that. That's exactly what the Bulls have just done. No matter what Wizards fans think of Otto Porter and think that he underachieved in that spot with Otto Porter and his $27.3 million salary, let me make sure it's very clear. Otto Porter was part of the threesome of John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. And I think that Wizards fans are still waiting for Porter to develop. And Porter's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. He is a nice player. But I'm just trying to determine like what the Bulls' direction is. See, you can't say on one side, and it's going to happen again when we get to the draft, we're just trying to get young and athletic and develop players. You can do that, but understand that the reason why the Bulls did this is because of two things. One, just not sure what the future is, doesn't know exactly what the direction is, one. But two, the reason why they did this is because, well, if you're looking for the Bulls to make a kind of a mark in free agency, well, you know they can't. So this is their free agent. This move is, this is the big fish, just like Jabari Parker was the big fish, just like some of these other guys. This is the move that we're going to make because we know that in the open market, we can't get anybody quality. So they made this deal. Now, on one end, with a guy that I really like in Bobby Portis personally, I like Bobby Portis, but Bobby Portis was in the doghouse with Fred Hoiberg. He didn't get a chance to play at times. He was underwhelming at times. And this is a draft pick that I thought was decent, but never thought he would really bear fruit. And so he gets traded because the Bulls don't want to be able to pay through the nose for Bobby Portis in restricted free agency. And Jabari Parker, I just went through like that. I don't even understand why he was even in a Bulls uniform. And you see here under the Fred / Jim Boylan administration that this whole thing wasn't going to work out. And they tried to make the move and they could not. They finally made a move here. And so the trade from the Wizards standpoint will provide significant financial savings for the Wizards, whose tax bill for this season will drop from $8.96 million to $3.34 million. The team will be $2.3 million below the tax threshold. They are rebuilding. Because of the John Wall injury, because of what happened with John Wall, Bradley Beal is the guy, and now the Otto Porter's gone, they're going to unplug this thing. Because they have such a big price tag with John Wall that they have no other choice but to unplug it. But with this Bulls mix, once again, Otto Porter is a nice player. But I just need to understand what the direction is of the basketball team. Are you saying that you are trying to build your starting wings with Otto Porter Jr. and Zach LaVine? If that's what you're doing, along with Markkanen, if that's your core, that's fine. But just understand that you're just not going to be in the top three, top four, maybe not even top five, because Otto Porter is going to give his best. LaVine is going to give his best. And so there's going to be some games that you don't think the Bulls should win. They're going to win. And so, once again, you're talking about maybe a top seven, top eight, top nine pick in the draft. Maybe the Bulls feel that with their talent that they weren't going to get the top three anyway. There's a way, again, I feel like I'm doing the same show I did this time last year. There's a way to do it. There's a way to unplug this thing. I'm looking at you, Knicks, when I say that. There's a way for you to unplug this thing so you can be in the top three, but the Bulls are just deciding now that, well, we can't make a big move in free agency, so this is the move. The move is to have Otto Porter Jr. on the team. Fine. Now, after this offseason, what's next then? Where are you going then? Are you closer to Milwaukee? Are you closer to Toronto? Are you close to Philadelphia, Boston, even Indiana? Where are you? It's a move. Because you didn't want to pay Bobby Portis, but yet you understand that 45% of the Bulls' salary cap now is locked up on LaVine and Otto Porter. Okay. I just you got to go one way or the other. I've coined this phrase for years on the air. You could be as bad as the worst team. You could be as great as the best team, but when you're in the middle, that's basketball hell. You can't be in the middle, and you can't be toward the bottom in the middle. You can't do that. And so that's the whole issue. So I just think that that is something that when I saw this deal come across, I'm like, okay. And I was reading the piece from TheAthletic.com from Zach Harper about this, and it makes a lot of sense. 45% of the Bulls' salary cap next season is locked up in LaVine and Porter. That sounds like an awful lot of confidence, LaVine continuing to progress, and Porter bouncing back. LaVine had a scorching start, as you and I both know, but now he is a below-average three-point shooter this season at 34%, looking more like a player recovering from an ACL tear last season. LaVine has been a 30% usage rate guy since joining the Bulls. They try to mold him into a number one and number two option down the road. Let me ask you a question. Even if you've watched 10 basketball games, is Zach LaVine a number one option offensively? Is that a cornerstone guy? Is that a number two option offensively? Seriously. And let me ask you a question. Is Otto Porter? He is not. Is Lauri Markkanen? See, this is what I'm talking about. I'm just leaving it open because I know what this organization is. The mom-and-pop shop that it is. They can't find free agents, so they got Otto Porter. More on NBA free agency coming up, and more on this deal as we move forward here in Under the Hood. We'll hear from Bobby Marks. He'll be with us next to break it all down with us. But next, here's SportsCenter.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us. Let's go to the hotline and say hello to a front office insider for ESPN. Also, you hear him on NBA Insiders Sunday nights on ESPN Radio. Here on ESPN 1000, as a matter of fact, Bobby Marks joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hi, Bobby.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
How's it?
You know what? Nothing's burning in Chicago yet. I know that the deal took place, but everything seems calm so far. What was your initial reaction to the Bulls-Wizards deal?
You know, I thought it was a basketball decision. You know, it wasn't a financial or cash drop or, you know, taking back contracts to help team, you know, pay a luxury or offset the luxury tax. So, yeah, I mean, I think you look at your history in free agency and you weren't really going to go out and probably attract a guy this summer with $40+ million in room. So you get Otto Porter for the rest of this year. You got him for two more years. And, I think the key will be for him to, you know, stay healthy. You put him with, you know, Zach LaVine at the two and the three in there. And, I think I'm probably a little more of a wait and see, but I had no issues with the deal, but especially that, you know, Parker, you were going to decline his option and, we'll see what we would have seen what Bobby Portis would have cost you.
What did you think of Porter with the Wizards? Cause you know, that was their kind of big three. Porter was an up and coming player along with, what they had with Wall and Beal. So what'd you think of him as a Wizard?
I thought he was better when John Wall wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, him coming off the bench, you know, I thought he had some good moments when he came off the bench. But, you know, when you're paying a guy $25-26 million, you know, you're not paying a guy to come off the bench there. So, yeah, he's battled some injuries the last couple of years. So I think that's, as I said, if he's healthy, he gives you a big, you know, he's a big three, as far as from a height standpoint. And ability to shoot the ball. I think if you want to go small, you can put him at the four if you have to. And I thought he, you know, as I said, when John went out of the lineup in, I guess, late December, I thought he played a lot better there.
Bobby Marks with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Bobby, I think that this move, it's not saying that Chicago was going to be a top three in the draft, but it definitely knocked you out of position because I think that a healthy, you know, locked-in Otto Porter will get you somewhere with sixth or seventh in the draft. Now, I guess that's still quality, but you're not tanking to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just kind of let it play out and see where you're going to go. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with, Robin Lopez tomorrow. I would expect Robin to get a buyout if he's not traded by tomorrow afternoon. So that's one less player, and then you bring a minimum guy in. And, you know, it's based on what Coach Blinn wants to do with minutes. You know, there's certainly, you know, just because you get a guy like Otto Porter who can play 30 plus minutes tonight doesn't mean you're going to play him there. So, does it get him out of the top three or top four? Possibly. So I think you're kind of a little bit of a wait and see where, you know, how he kind of divvies up the minutes.
From the Wizards' standpoint, is this a rebuild?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a pretty much straight money. This is a cash or a contract dump here. Hey, I mean, they had $118 million in contracts next season, including John Wall, who's out until, right, you know, February, could be out for the whole year here. And I think they realize, as far as, you know, the group that built the together, you know, they're kind of stuck on the treadmill here. So, you know, it'll be interesting what happens with, you know, Bradley Beal by, you know, probably not by tomorrow, but during the summer, because he's really their last, you know, he's really their big, you know, their big asset that they have left.
So pretty much from Portis' standpoint, because he's going to be restricted free agent, it's just kind of they just want to take a look and see if he's worth the extra cash, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get him for 3 months. He's on expiring, but you can qualify him, and he'll be a restricted free agent. So, you know, the Washington cleaned up their books a little bit, so I think a lot of it depends on what the price tag of, you know, Bobby Portis will be here. You know, the likelihood is they don't pick up that $20 million Jabari Parker option. I think Jabari sticks there for this year. I thought he would have been a buyout guy in Chicago if he made it past the deadline here. So, yeah, you get these guys kind of, it's almost like a three-month, you know, audition for both players.
I wish we had beers together. I just don't know the direction. I just don't, you can't tell me in the press that it's about being young and athletic and then make this move. It's almost like because Chicago cannot nail the big fish in free agency or even the B-list guy, they say, well, let's make this deal just to be able to have someone that can kind of help for the future, I guess. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I think, you know, the likelihood is that you are going to miss out on free agent. Are you content winning 15 games again next year? You know, do you need to accelerate the rebuild here? I mean, if Otto Porter comes in here and is injured or doesn't play up to his contract, you know, there's going to be a lot of criticism around here. So they still got some flexibility this summer to kind of figure out if they can go out and maybe get a point guard. We'll see what they add in the draft here. But, yeah, I mean, I talk about cap space all the time, and I say cap space is fool's gold. But there are certain ways you can use it, you know, through trades, through free agency, taking back contracts with draft picks here. So I think, you know, if you're probably from the perspective of the front office, they're looking for an established wing to team up with Zach LaVine for the next few years here, and, you know, didn't want to go out in free agency to kind of miss out again.
Bobby, as always, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us in Chicago.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It is Bobby Marks, a front office insider for ESPN, also part of NBA Insiders. You hear that show Sunday nights right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan Hood with you. Felix, open the phone lines. Let's open the phone lines here. Yeah, the Bulls are playing. No one's watching. It is bad. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. So you heard from Bobby Marks there. And let me just go a little deeper. And I know we're coming out of Notre Dame basketball, so I need to reset some things here because now the audience is starting to pick up again. So I look at it like this. When I look at Zach Harper's piece from The Athletic, he makes so many salient points. It says, bringing Otto Porter into the mix is interesting because a once promising wing took a step back this season in terms of production and efficiency. Some of that can be attributed to the toe injury that he's battled, and some of that's just chalked up because the Wizards have been a mess. Out of all and let me just stop here. One of the more underachieving teams in the NBA is the Washington Wizards. I think that I know I've been waiting for the Wizards to take that next step for a while now, wondering, are the Wizards better off with just Wall and Porter and the pieces, or maybe Beal and Porter and some pieces? I don't know. I've been waiting for it for a long time, but they've underachieved, and definitely in this particular case, because of the injury to John Wall, he's out for the rest of the season, so the Wizards decide they want to unplug things, and they're getting beat down by Milwaukee 103-87 right now as we speak in the third quarter. But this move And any time that you see some kind of trade or some kind of move by Garland Pax, it's going to be magnified, and rightfully so, overly so, because the thing that is disappointing, I think, to a lot of Bulls fans is that with the LeBron-less East, and you should have saw it coming, that you should prepare yourself to at least be a contender in this Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference is led by Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks are a team that has gotten a lot better. They had to come from the bottom to where they are right now as the top team in the Eastern Conference. With the Toronto Raptors, the same situation. The Toronto Raptors, you know, a good team, and now they are contending. The Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, Brooklyn, which should be a pain in your neck, Bulls fans, a Nets team that went through draft pick after draft pick and trying to compile draft picks, and now that team is a good team in the Eastern Conference. And Chicago's languishing down there with Cleveland and the Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks. And the problem I have is always this. Whatever direction that you're going to have as a franchise, take that direction, but don't be double-minded, because that means you're lying to the fan base. I could not imagine being a season ticket holder for this team. I'd be so pissed off at hearing something on ESPN 1000 and then doing something else that's on the floor that's completely different. I would be so upset about the direction of going one way or the other with this team. Because I look at it like this. In the offseason, this past offseason, when there was this tug-of-war between the Kings and the Bulls on whether or not the Bulls should get Zach LaVine. And I said at the time, I was like, it's got to be at your price. Because Zach LaVine is a guy that had his ACL problem, that was injured before. Is he worth, as Nick always said, is the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to Zach LaVine, right? And I thought that LaVine is always a solid player, but not a player that you look at and say, well, for sure, that's a guy that you want to have as a cornerstone player. Because how do you know? And the other thing is, too, is that when you're changing your coach every 2 or 3 years, your team can never get in a rhythm where you can look at your team and say, okay, this is the type of basketball that we're going to play. Like, after this season, there's going to be a new head coach in place. This Jim Boylan thing is an absolute disaster. So Jim Boylan more than likely will not be the coach after this season. They'll give him a little payment, and then they'll move on to somebody else for 3 years and fire him after 3 years unfairly. You know what's really needed for the Bulls before I take another step about this team? You know what's really needed for the Bulls? I have seen fire guard packs on my timeline for years. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. You and I both know the issue, that there is a need for a fresh set of eyes for this organization. You know what the Bulls need? And the Bulls are actually going to have to do this sooner than later. They need their own Theo Epstein. And that's not necessarily talking about the championships like Theo was able to build, but it's someone that can look at it from an analytical standpoint and be able to look at the NBA for what's happening in 2019, and that's what not was happening in 1999. You cannot, and Kendall Gill mentioned this on the show last week on Under the Hood, you cannot be an organization in 2019 and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to develop. Damn, develop. You're trying to win now. It's not about trying to go through multiple players on your roster trying to develop them. Either those players are ready to go now, let those dogs loose, or then just fold your cards. That's what it comes down to. You cannot look at trying to build an organization by saying, well, you know what we've got to do with guys like Shaq Harrison and Felicio and, you know, young players like Mark. And we got to, you have a young base. You got to develop them. And like, no, you got to let those guys play. Have a system in place and let those guys play. A general manager, and there's plenty of them, whether it's David Griffin, whether it is Bobby Marks, whether it's anybody that you think that is an up-and-coming general manager, there needs to be somebody that can look at basketball through the lens of what's happening now and look at the organization and say, well, you're going to have to let these – find that right head coach that can be able to match a system that is solid for a young team and let those guys go. The NBA is about getting up and down the floor. It's about pace. It's about being able to outscore the other team as much as possible. It's about possessions. It's about being able to make the right defensive plays when you got to make the right defensive plays at the end of quarters. It's just being a better all-around solid team. And with the Bulls, the Otto Porter signing. The Otto Porter signing is fine if you're telling me that the future of the Bulls is LaVine and Porter. That's your core. That's 45% of the Bulls' salary cap is on those two. Okay. Fine. But then where are you going? What's your next step? Is Chris Dunn actually going to be a Bull after the trade deadline? How is that going to happen? How is he still on the roster? See, one side is, well, we've got to be able to be bad, and we've seen some tank losses here. It's amazing. It's obvious to anyone, if you're watching Bulls basketball, how there's some players that play well in the first half, and all of a sudden their minutes dissipate. It just goes out and just goes away, and they're putting in young players, and you're trying to get bad. But then you make this deal of Otto Porter, and it's almost like, well, we try to tank early, but this deal took place, so now we're not going to tank. Wait a minute. You can't. This is what I mean by double-minded. And it's right there in real time. I feel like I'm doing this show every year. I feel like I'm saying the same things. I should just put the tape on of what I said last week and last month and last year. Last couple of years, the same thing. What is the direction of Bulls basketball? What's the direction? If you're trying to be with the Knicks, now here's the thing. You want to do it with balls? Whatever. If you think that the Knicks are crazy, the Knicks unplugged their team. They didn't want to pay. Kristaps Porzingis is hurt on his rookie deal. They traded him to Dallas. And why did they do that? Because they did it for cap space. It's the first time ever, I remember a young player being traded for cap space just to roll the dice just to get Kevin Durant, just to roll the dice against to try to get Kyrie Irving or a top five guy in free agency. No one's done that. But the Knicks are like, well, look, this is the best we can do. Not only are we going to do that, but also we're going to get a top three pick. It's ballsy, and it's something the Bulls wouldn't do. The Bulls can afford to do these moves. You know why? Because have you seen the attendance? Still in the top upper echelon. Still butts in seats. People still love the popcorn trick. People still love the classic rock. They still want to hear Peter Gabriel right through the speakers at the United Center. Like it's 1981. They still want it. So this is so that's why I say this deal is fine. You want to have Otto Porter on the team? Fine. But tell me what the plan is. Younger, athletic? Or are you actually going to actually add some more free agents and then try to be in the playoffs next year? I don't know. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You know that the Bulls made this deal. The Bulls made this deal as they are able to get Otto Porter from the Washington Wizards. And Jabari Parker, who should never have been on the Bulls team, is gone, and so is Bobby Portis. Okay. But again, where are you going with this? We'll take your phone calls next.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Getting your thoughts on the Bulls trade. The Bulls have traded Bobby Portis as well as Jabari Parker to the Wizards to get Otto Porter Jr. How's that settle for you? And then what do you think the direction is of the Bulls? That's the question I'm asking you. What do you think the direction is for the Bulls? I'll tell you more coming up next. 312-332-ESPN. Hit me up on Snapchat as well. Snap J Hood. Right here on UTH.
Hey, yo, J Hood. You know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go. Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
First blast. Deep into the net. And a two-run
Yeah. So Jake Bentley chased and dropped the 19-yard line. Roquan, the chef, Smith.
Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam.
Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
From our first Midwest Bank Studios. It's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed here on this Wednesday night. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. Glad that you're with us. Short flight tonight. We came on after Notre Dame basketball, and glad that you're with me here till 10 o'clock. We'll have a full show tomorrow, 7 to 10. We will talk a lot about the NBA trade deadline, what the Bulls might do tomorrow. They already did something tonight. If you're just joining us, you missed it. The Wizards have agreed to trade forward Otto Porter Jr. to the Bulls for forwards Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker. The deal includes a 2023 second-round pick to the Wizards. Porter, who's 25, is averaging 12.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 2 assists this season. He is making $26 million this season, is owned $27.25 million next season with a player option of 2020-2021. So, let's get to the Wizards side quickly. The Wizards are unplugging their team because with or without Wall, with or without Beal, with or without Otto Porter Jr., this team was not going in the right direction. They're one of the most underachieving teams in the last 3-4 years that we've seen because of injury or because of ineptitude, whatever. It started off poorly, and that's going to end poorly because John Wall's not coming back for the rest of the season. From the Bulls' standpoint, this is what the Bulls have done, and a great piece written by Zach Harper did a great job on theathletic.com breaking this down. A piece talking about how the Bulls get Otto Porter from the Wizards for Portis and Parker. Some things that stand out in the piece that makes a lot of sense to me. One of the things that stood out, and I totally agree with, and this is a fact, this particular deal means that nearly 45% of the Bulls' salary cap next season is locked up on LaVine and Porter. And that does sound like a lot of confidence in LaVine continuing to progress and Porter bouncing back. LaVine had a scorching start to the season, and now he's kind of gone back down to earth. He's been a below-average three-point shooter this season at 34%, looking a lot more like the player is recovering from ACL tear last season than the spot-up assassin he was with Minnesota at 37%. LaVine has been a 30% usage rate guy since joining the Bulls, and they're trying to mold him to be a number one, number two option down the road. My thing is that I don't mind this deal, but I just like to know two things. One, what direction are you going by making this deal? Two, you realize that the Bulls have pushed themselves out of position. If you really believe that the Bulls are going to be in a position to get Zion Williamson, which I didn't think they ever would, because I don't think that anyone's going to be as bad as the Knicks or the Suns or Atlanta. Point is that Zion Williamson is not coming to the Bulls unless there's some kind of fate that I don't know, some kind of Disney-like miracle that's going to happen for the Bulls. Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, Ja Morant, as well as R.J. Barrett. Those are the projected top three that's going to be in this upcoming NBA draft. I know we're 140 days away from the draft, but the point is that the Bulls have to try to figure out who they want to be. My constant issue with Chicago is how it's really not clearly defined on what they are trying to be. when you have 45% of your Bulls salary cap next season tied up in Otto Porter Jr., a guy that was a third option with the Wizards, and a nice player. Not going to bash the player. The player is a nice player, a nice piece. On a good team, he's a third option. I don't know, like the Wizards. Okay? Now, maybe he can grow into a number two option, but he's not going to be the reason why your team is going to win or lose. He's a nice piece along with LaVine. But what is Zach LaVine? How many times have we seen Zach LaVine with the buzzer sounding, him missing a shot down the stretch? And his shooting percentage is not exactly what it needs to be. As I mentioned, he's at a 30% usage rate guy since joining the Bulls. And then you take a look at Porter into this mix now. It's interesting because he was a guy that took a step back in production and efficiency. Now, he had a toe injury that he's battled some this season, but also just kind of part of that mix with the Wizards that's just been a mess all season. And here's some numbers for you. While Porter's usage has remained the same as last season, his scoring average has dipped from 23.2 points a game per 100 possessions to 20.6 points per 100 possessions. Also, seeing his 61% true shooting percentage drop down to 55.1. Now, maybe it's just because he's with the Wizards and maybe that gets better, but I don't think it does. I think that he's a nice player for the Bulls. But once again, what are you building toward? And once again, we look at the Bulls in the prism of, are you any closer to Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Indiana when Victor Oladipo is healthy, Philadelphia, with Brooklyn, what they've been able to do, at least those six teams in the East. Are you any closer to those teams? The other thing to me that stands out about this particular deal is because the Bulls were not going to make any kind of splash in this free agency, and there's plenty of players to go with. You saw the Tobias Harris deal, so he's off the books, and he's going to be with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bulls felt, if we make this move, we're not going to pay a guy that we thought was going to be a quality player in Bobby Portis in a restricted deal, so we're going to make this deal and bring in someone that could be in part of the starting lineup, because this is your free agency move. This is it. And it's not a free agency. It's a draft, but understand the point. This is the splash. Otto Porter Jr. Ta-da. There you go. Jabari Parker is a guy that should have never been in a Bulls uniform. Should never been in a Bulls uniform. Coming off the injuries that he had, why did the Bulls even decide to pick him up? The first press conference he had was like, I'm not playing defense. Defiant. Chip on the shoulder. It's like, I don't need to play defense. That's what you brought in. You know, and if you were trying to go the opposite direction, again, if you're trying to tank, you don't pick up that particular deal. You don't pick up the LaVine deal going back and forth between Sacramento. If you're really trying to tank and trying to build through the draft, you go as low as you can. You try to have young players recreate and try to be down there with Atlanta and New York and be with some of the bad teams. But that's not what the Bulls did. So my point is that on this deal, as I look at the deal, it's fine, but I just like to know what the direction is of the team. Are you trying to develop young players? Because that's passé in today's NBA. The idea that you're trying to mold and shape and trying to, and the other thing too, and we'll get to the phone lines right here, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Whether it's Otto Porter, whether it is a player that we see here with this Bulls team, like a Dunn or LaVine or Seldon or any of these players, who's going to coach them? Markkanen, who's going to coach them? Who's going to coach them next year? See, all of it is about the word culture. I always talk about this all the time with the Bulls or any team. Culture. That coach with the whistle around his neck, Jim Boylan, is not going to be around next season. There's no way. Tongue in cheek, I thought they brought him in and let him take over for Fred Hoiberg so they can tank even further because they knew he didn't know what he was doing. How's the culture changed with him as the head coach? They wanted to have someone who's a little bit stronger minded, had a little bit more of a voice. That team still sucks. So you still, whatever you're doing, you still have to figure out, well, who's going to coach these players? And then what are you? How do you define Bulls basketball? And again, you can spare me with the fire guard packs thing, because until it happens, it's not going to happen. Because we both know what the issue is. It needs a new set of eyes. They need their own Theo Epstein. They need to be able to have a different philosophy, but Michael Reinsdorf just won't let go. So I just want to get your thoughts on the trade. My thought is it's fine. I just don't know where you're going with it. And for 45% of the salary cap tied in these two players, if you're going to do that, then you must be ready for the playoffs, right? But then didn't you tell me last year that really it was all about trying to develop young players in the draft last year?
Let's slow the train down here a little bit.
It's a weak Eastern Conference. Yes. We see the landscape before us.
It may be much weaker in a couple weeks, too.
Well, the train is getting past you. That's not what you wanted, but look at the core that you have. Don't you think that's a top eight team running?
Let's see. I never want to anoint young players to, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be something. This league is hard.
Dunn and Levine are veterans.
Yeah, they are. They're some of our most veterans. When you draft like this, you tend to forget certain other guys. And we still have Bobby Portis, who had a terrific year for us. Denzel Valentine, who had some really good times for us. We feel like we're kind of starting this nice nucleus, and it's young. But look,
it's moving too fast for you.
Well, we're realistic. We know this. In order to win in this league, you need some stars.
Right.
And our hope is that Lowry's going to become one. Our hope is that Zach and Chris Dunn are on that path, you know, as well. And if they are, then we've got something good brewing. But we're going to be patient. And you know, we're going to be disciplined in our approach. I think tonight, kind of, you know, when we look at what we did a year ago and got those three pieces for Jimmy and what we did tonight, I mean, in 1 year's time, we feel like we've gotten five really good young players. And that doesn't happen very often in this business through the draft and through a trade. So we feel good about it.
Packs on draft night. There you go. Nice thoughts on Portis there.
A little bit awkward.
Oh, you think? Oh, man. So there you go. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Let's talk Village. Here's Pat on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. We talk Bulls. Hello, Pat.
What's up, Hoodie?
What's cracking?
I'm not going to spare you on the fire Paxton thing, because that's exactly the problem with this team. He can't relate to none of these players nowadays, and that's why the words out of your old mouth, he's not going to be involved in this free agency this year. He's like, it's one of the biggest free agent seasons of the year, and we're not even going to get a sniff of it. He's going to end up with a Carlos Boozer out of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's where we're at. We're like middle of the pack. We're going to stay the middle of the pack because Paxton just can't recruit guys. He said it out of his own mouth. He said, I'm not a salesman. But that's your job, dude. You got to get out there and sell this city to these players, and he won't do it. And that's why we're never going to be anything in this league.
I'm glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. Leaves line open. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. The Sacramento Kings are trading Justin Jackson. Whoa. Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph to the Mavericks for Harrison Barnes. I got this from Adrian Wojnarowski and from The Athletic. So, again, there's going to be a lot of deals. We'll have a full NBA trade deadline show tomorrow. Right here on ESPN 1000, starting at 7 o'clock. We'll break down the Bulls and everything else around the NBA and see how all the other moves relate to the Bulls. We'll have that tomorrow on our special tomorrow night at 7 right here on ESPN 1000. So he leaves line open for you, Pat, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You've dumbed yourself out of position with this, right? No Zion Williamson, no Jay Morant, no Ja Morant, no R.J. Barrett. All those guys will not be part of the Bulls because you know that whatever you're going to get from Otto Porter, he wants to show that he belongs. And even with the Dunns and the Levines and the players that's on this roster, the Bulls will have their share of losses. They're losing tonight. What's new? But the point is that when I'm looking at this team, I just want to see the direction. Let me just also point this out, too. So the NBA for generations has been based on dynasties. It's not like I win a championship here, you win a championship there, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. The history of the league is based on dynasties, whether it's the Lakers or the Celtics, or whether it's the Bulls for their time, the Rockets for a couple of years, or the Pistons for the Bad Boys a couple of years. It's about dynasties. And I understand that everybody can't win an NBA championship. There's so many great NBA players that cannot win a championship because they were in the mix of a dynasty in which they were like, well, we can't win because we're not as talented as that team that continues to grow year in and year out. I think that because I grew up in an era and saw what it was like for the Bulls before Jordan as a kid, watching Jordan develop, watching the team get better and better and better to the point where the Bulls win the championship, I know the process. I know how bad it is at the beginning. You get someone you believe in Jordan, and of course, this is a once-in-a-generation player, so understand the story. And I've seen the championship run for Chicago. I know what that's like. Then you saw the Bulls unplug it. Couldn't wait to be able to get their own version of an NBA champion. And, of course, that hasn't worked ever since those championship years. The Bulls have had their share of playoff runs here and there. But there's nothing like, in sports, the feeling of sustained success. The Portland Trail Blazers have had sustained success forever. Again, they haven't won a championship since 77, so it's been a long time. But my point is that every year, they're always in the mix. They're always trying. They're always trying to move a piece or two, and they're always in the playoffs. They haven't been able to get to the top because they haven't been able to break through those dynasties and be able to be a dynasty themselves. But damn it, at least they try. And at least there's a plan. And the thing that is frustrating to me when I got to talk about this team is that loyalty can go one of two ways. You can be loyal to individuals and you think they're good people. But if it affects the one loss record of your team, you have to do something about it. Why can't Michael Reinsdorf be the Rocky Wirtz of this town? Why can't he do something differently than how Jerry Reinsdorf ran the Bulls? Michael Reinsdorf really is the guy that's in control. Why can't Michael Reinsdorf look at things the way Rocky looked at his dad? His dad didn't want home TV, didn't care about paying quality players. Rocky comes in and gets John McDonough, and all of a sudden then starts bringing in other quality guys in the front office to make sure that it gets better, like a Scotty Bowman, and they won three Stanley Cup championships. Why can't Michael Reinsdorf, now that he has the keys to the Bulls, look at it and say, I'm going to do it differently than Dad did it? Dad cares about the White Sox winning a World Series before he dies, another one. He would cash in all his six titles with the Bulls for one more World Series because he's a baseball guy. But since Michael Reinsdorf's in position, why can't Michael push Dad to the side and go, you know, I'm looking at this one loss record, look at all these coaches, and we have underachieved. Screw this. We're going to do it differently. You want John Paxson to still be in the office? Fine. But doesn't mean that he's got to be the bottom line. Doesn't mean that he has to make all the decisions or be the last voice in the room. If I'm Michael Reinsdorf, I'd be embarrassed to be around my peers, my other owners, at the table for the meetings. I'd be embarrassed. Now, sure, if you are about the bottom line and talk about the money that you have coming into United Center, people still going to see that product, knowing that it's an underachieving product, it's sometimes even horrible product. If that's your bottom line, that all you care about is how many people are clicking the turnstiles at the United Center, cool. Cool. Because they look at the money and they look at how much money that's being made by the Bulls and they're like, oh, that's pretty good. But I think that when you're the Warriors and they see how many people go into Oracle, they say, well, that's great. There's always been people going to Warriors games when they were terrible under Gary St. Jean and some of those Donnie Nelson teams. Guess what? They were still coming, but they didn't give them any championships. But now, through the luck of the draft and free agency, they are able to have a dynasty and they're going to win it again this year. As I mentioned, the NBA is about dynasties. But my point is that you at some point you got to get tired of being embarrassed. Michael Reinsdorf, I'm talking about, can just walk through and have his head held high like, look how much money I'm making. Hey, I'm making a lot of money. I'm still in the top five, top six when it comes to attendance and money that's being made. But at some point, don't you want to go through those meetings with your Brooks Brothers suit and say, yeah, not only are we making money, but we're winning too? Does that not, or does that not matter? I want you to think about it. Felix gave me this. Forbes releases 21st annual NBA team evaluations. The Knicks are worth $4 billion. That's an 11% value increase from last year. The Knicks are reaping the rewards of a $1 billion renovation to Madison Square Garden completed in 2013. The Lakers are in second place at $3.7 billion. Magic Johnson takes over along with Rob Pelinka, and guess what Magic says? Yeah, let's bring an opportunity to win again. It's one thing for people to keep coming to Lakers games because it's the place to be, no matter if they're good or bad, but how about we start winning here? It's still to be determined whether or not the Lakers go to the playoffs this year. I don't know. But still, the point is that LeBron James is there, and that increases your chances of being able to get to the playoffs. So after the Lakers, there's Golden State with $3.5 billion and the Bulls at $2.9 billion. Celtics at $2.8 billion. So that's where the Bulls are, $2.9 billion, because you can't help but to be there for that classic rock and that popcorn trick from Benny the Bull. You can't help it because you just got to be there. You just love the smell of weed in the 300 level. People need to smoke that stuff because of how bad the Bulls are. Just to get your mind off of things. Just to ease your mind. But if I'm Michael Reinsdorf, even though you see the bottom line in the price tag, $2.9 billion, I'd be embarrassed. The once proud franchise. It's so long ago that the Bulls won the championship that when I see highlights, it's almost like it's not HD, but the color's fading on those championships. Wait until the documentary comes out. You got to adjust your TV just to see it. Because the whole generation is going to be like, well, when did this happen? In the 60s? Is that what you want? Your legacy is Michael Jordan, who doesn't even, not even part of the organization because he has his own team that he's failing with Charlotte. But the point is that I would be embarrassed if I was Michael Reinsdorf with this. You're just spinning your wheels. And I will say it again, if you're just joining me, the deal's fine. You want to do this deal? That's fine. I just don't know what the direction is of the team. You can't get free agents in here. Your draft picks, if Bobby Portis was a draft pick that you were very high on, all of a sudden he got in the doghouse and now he's a Washington Wizard because you don't want to pay him in for restricted free agency. You're trying to mold and shape players and you don't think that he's one of those guys. You bring in Jabari Parker, a guy that doesn't want to play defense from here. You bring Dwayne Wade in because you want to replace Derrick Rose because you just need another Chicagoan in here. And just deal after deal, move after move is just, it's not horrible, but it doesn't get you anywhere. It's the one chess piece where you're making the one chess piece and you're sitting and you hit the clock and you're sitting there for an hour and a half. What's the next move? And the guy across from you is like, you gonna make a move? Oh yeah. Otto Porter. That's the next move. Then what? I tell you, for someone that loves the NBA, not the Bulls, but as someone that loves the NBA, I'll tell you something. It is difficult, first of all, to watch that product every night. And secondly, it's frustrating because people internally with the Bulls are saying the same thing that I'm saying. If you're a longtime Bulls fan and you love this team, you could be as optimistic as you want. You could just be the most diehard Sea Red Nation, Bulls Nation guy, but you still have to ask yourself and hit yourself right in between the eyes with the question, like, where's your team going? Where's your team going? The Knicks, with all that cap space, have a better future than the Bulls do. And that's a roll of the dice. That could easily be like something bad, Felix. You know, that could be that. It doesn't have to be Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, but at least they're trying. They the number one team, $4 billion, but they want to win. The Knicks have a better situation with rolling the dice than the Bulls do, just spinning their wheels, just being less than mediocre. Back after this.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood.
I'm all in my bag, as hard as it gets.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You're listening to my mans and them, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me. For those of you leaving the United Center, got a chance to watch or listen to the Bulls and their loss against the New Orleans Pelicans, 125 to 120 or something. Give me a call, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Looking for to talk about the Bulls trade. This is why I'm here. As the Bulls lose, LaVine with 28 points and 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Markkanen with 30 points and 10 rebounds. But again, Bulls lose by 5. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the Bulls and their trade. The Bulls have traded Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker to the Wizards for Otto Porter Jr. Otto Porter averaging 12.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 2 assists. He's making $26 million this season. He's owed $27 million next season with a player option for 2021. And what I've been talking about pretty much is like I feel like I'm doing the same show in which we just don't know the direction of the team. Yes, it's a step, and I don't have a major problem with this deal. It's just that you can't say on one end, Felix, that it's about trying to get young and athletic, and the other end is like, well, we're going to add Porter Jr. and LaVine and Markkanen into the mix because 48-49% of your salary cap is gone now.
Yeah, and that's the annoying part, right? And just like you said, we've gone back and forth year in and year out about this Bulls team. And the biggest thing that stands out is the direction, right? We never know the direction. We never know what's going on. And when you look back 4 or 5 years ago, our biggest highlight was Derrick Rose years, Tom Thibodeau being a coach here. We got lucky. We got lucky to land the number one pick and get a player like Derrick Rose before he got hurt. And we got lucky to land a coach like Tom Thibodeau. Now we stand in a place where we're drafting some decent players because Lauri Markkanen has upside. Wendell Carter Jr. has upside. Zach LaVine, we don't know what he really is, but he might be a really good 2 or 3 on a team. But what is the direction of this team? You go out and you get Otto Porter Jr. And I see that the Bulls are trying to get creative here because you see a team like the Brooklyn Nets who went out and got D'Angelo Russell when they wanted to clear cap space. They got all these guys. They got Spencer Dinwiddie because the Bulls didn't want him and ended up being really good, the Jarrett Allens. And now Brooklyn is in the East and playing well, might be a dark horse in the playoff. You got the Sacramento Kings, which we laughed at for years. We're like, what is Vlade doing over there? They're drafting guards year in, year out. You have no idea what they're doing, and look at that team this year.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Always, and it's just don't tell me that you're trying to get young and athletic. I'm just telling you that in 2019, you don't try to develop young players and try to go through a process. It's about trying to win now. And because the Bulls are bereft of trying to get quality free agents, and the free agents that they've had is like Ben Wallace and players like that. It's Ben Wallace and it's also Carlos Boozer and players like that. Well, because they can't get the quality free agent, this is your free agent splash in some ways, even though it's a trade. This is the new Bulls, so this is your free agent splash. Fine. But he's a piece, not a reason for you to win. And I'm just trying to figure out what the ultimate plan is. Do you feel now that you're good enough to be a top 8 team, or are you thinking that you'll be able to build through the draft? Because you just can't be double-minded. It's the NBA. You can't be in the middle. The Bulls now, because of this move, will not be in the mix for Morant or for Williamson or for Barrett. And I'm wondering about even Cameron Reddish as well. I think that the Bulls could be somewhere 5, at best 5, 6, 7, 8. So don't think about Zion or Morant or RJ Barrett because of this move, Otto Porter is going to try. Now, the Bulls always are trying, but now you have a little bit more extra talent there. So I just, you've dumbed yourself out of position with this move again. And if it was about trying to tank and try to get younger, why'd you make moves like having Jabari Parker on here to start with? Jabari Parker's never been on with the Bulls. Nice coming home story, but like, what's the point? He didn't want to be here anyway. He didn't want to defend.
He's also leaving disgruntled now, too, because he's just like, they didn't give me the opportunity. They bench me all the time.
He came in pissed off, though.
Correct. But it doesn't make the organization look any better now, too.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Peter in South Shore with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pete? Peter, Peter's not there. We will go to Chuck in Streamwood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, a couple of quick points. As far as draft picks, the last three guys that were drafted in the top three that won NBA championships with their own team, you got to go back to Tim Duncan, David Robinson, and then Michael Jordan. It doesn't make you win just because you tank for draft picks. This team is the only team I've ever heard of that only has three players over 6'6" on it. This team is the only team that's ever been around where management has not hired an experienced head coach since before Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. This team can't recruit free agents because their general managers have always failed the players and had a bad reputation with them, whether it be you can't wear a headband, Ben Wallace, you can't eat in the locker room, or just did the Jabari Parker. You will never vet people except for the ones that are left over still looking for a paycheck.
You're right. All those things are right. Every single thing you just said was right. Appreciate your phone call, my friend. And now he leaves line open. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. If you see it, what do you think agents think? And if you think agents see that, what do you think players think? All these big cities, like all these small cities, it's about finances. It's about, for some of them, it's about family. And it's about trying to increase your chance to win a championship. Where do the Bulls fall in those three categories? World-class city, that my hometown, a place where it's no better than Minnesota to some of these free agents. But San Antonio? Yeah, I could do that, sure. Orlando? Yeah, maybe I could do that. Miami? Pat Riley? Sure, I could do that. Brooklyn? Sure, I could do that. And the Knicks with all this big-ass cap space, they are rolling the dice trying to get at least one max player, maybe two, by the way. Also a dumpster fire of a front office and ownership. But it's still New York. Yeah, it doesn't have the same cachet with younger people like it did when I was a Gen Xer or back in the day. It doesn't have the same type of feel. But businesses are there. It is still New York. It's still Madison Square Garden. And it might not really resonate with kids that are 22, 23, 24. But the point is that to be on that platform where stars are sitting there and they're watching you play, actors and actresses, off the court stuff, max money available. It could be Durant. It could be Kyrie. At least they're trying. What are the Bulls doing? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Dan in Plano with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jay Hood. Love you. Love the show.
Love you.
I'm just a little concerned, man. I mean, if you break down the trade, it's essentially a wash to where points per game, rebounds per game, we're giving all the next guy and a second-round draft pick. Maybe we don't strike on that, but it seems like we extended ourselves a little more to give up just a terrible opportunity. And if it's going to create cap space, fine. But I just don't get the direction of the team right now, the organization. I don't get it. And you know, I just got to work. I probably missed your commentary earlier, but I love the thoughts. So I'll hang up and listen.
No, what you're saying is what I've said. I don't get the direction. Like, I just need to know, like, when we had the Paxton press conference or at the draft, are you going to tell me that you're trying to get longer and athletic? And who's going to coach these guys? It can't be that guy. Can't be that guy. And so, once again, no matter who you're bringing in, if your culture sucks, you can't win. Simple. Hey, the teams that are always changing their coaches every couple of years, those are the teams that are always terrible. So, you know? So, I mean, you have the same GM and the same vice president of basketball operations in place. Great. But if the voice is different every other year or every 3 years when you don't think that guy's good enough, then where are you going? That's the point. We can talk about this roster until midnight, but what's the direction of the team? Got to find the right coach and then stick with them. And then when the coach starts winning and starts to push you away so he can just focus on the team, you don't fire that guy. He was looking at you, Tom Thibodeau. You don't fire that guy at the time. Fred comes in. You know what Fred Hoiberg says? He goes, you know what? I'm just going to treat these guys like men. I'm going to be an NBA coach and treat these guys like men. All I need for them to do is defend. Those guys would not defend for Fred Hoiberg. I need to go play with pace. They brought in players that could not play with pace. He was looking at you, Dwayne Wade. Couldn't do it. This is the Bulls we're talking about here. ass backwards all the time.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Who cares?
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Will, tell us this. What stood out most about the Bulls season for you this year?
Well,
Will, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show. There it is, everybody. Four-time NBA champion Will Perdue joining us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll try him tomorrow. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you have left the United Center, get a chance to watch or listen to tonight's Bulls game as they lose again, this time to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. Jump in, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. And again, if you're just joining us, the Bulls have made a deal. The Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker are off the books. And now it is going to be Otto Porter with the Chicago Bulls. As I mentioned before, I don't have a problem with the deal as much as it's just trying to figure out what the direction of the team is. Because you have to understand, you have to have a direction for a team. If you're just a diehard Bulls fan and just root for laundry and just root for anything that has a Chicago Bulls uniform on it, that's cool. That's cool. But look at the facts. Felix, you were talking about before, just like some of the players from Brooklyn the Bulls didn't want the Dinwiddies and players like that. There's been a few moves here that the Bulls have made. You can't hit 100% on every move, but when you're a sound organization, you're drafting well, you have guys that you could develop through the draft, and you don't have a tug of war for someone that you're not even sure he's going to be a good player yet in Zach LaVine. He's a veteran player. You're going back and forth with Sacramento on whether or not you should pay through the nose for him. Now LaVine and Otto Porter have 48% on the salary cap, unless there's some other move that they're going to make by the deadline. I don't expect Chris Dunn to be on this team, but if he is, again, I don't know what the direction is of the ball club. So that's the whole issue. So, and again, you're not in the mix for Williamson or Morant or Barrett. You're going to be somewhere in the middle of the draft. And, again, if he's quality, that's fine. But it still doesn't make you a top eight team in the East, in a LeBron-less East. And there he is, Jim Boylan, on my middle screen. There he is, hands on his hips, trying to explain what's going on with the team. There he is. Just a disaster. You can talk to me about players all day and all night and this roster and what you think they're going to do. But if you just can't do it without a head coach and have a direction of the team. Whoever the next head coach is going to be, hopefully he can match what this roster is. Keep talking to me about the roster. But you guys also tell me who's going to be coaching this team. Jim Boylan is not going to be the coach of this team. There is an assistant coach that would not coach under his leadership that left the Bulls. You figure that out. An NBA champion that's been with the organization for a long time, like, I'm not going to work with that guy. You figure it out. You saw, if you know what the coaching staff was under Fred Hoiberg and see what it is now, you know what I'm talking about. I'll let you do the math on that. We thank you for being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to our guy, Bobby Marks, for being with us here on the program show produced by Eric and Felix on the other side of the glass. Full NBA trade deadline show coming up tomorrow starting at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Make sure that you're with us. We'll talk more about the Bulls and other moves around the NBA. Chris Fleck will stop by. Will Perdue will stop by. We've got some surprises up our sleeve for tomorrow's NBA trade deadline show. Make sure that you're with me tomorrow at 7 right here on ESPN 1000. Talk to you then.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.
The Bulls Show.